Author of the Week, sponsored by ABC Books on North Glenstone, just south of Kearney. This week, Matthew Whitaker, as his name may sound familiar to you, he was one of the, after Jeff Sessions' resignation, he became Attorney General in the Trump administration. He has a book out, Above the Law, the inside story of how the Justice Department tried to subvert President Trump. Want to thank you for being here with us this morning. And, you know, as a person that has been an observer, like a lot of Americans, It got to the point where I think this evolution occurred. People thought, oh, Trump gets in and he gets his people in and we're clearing the swamp. And then as time goes on, it appears more and more as if the swamp is everywhere. It's all around him, where nobody gets trusted. Even your predecessor, Jeff Sessions, at some point people began publicly to like, what's going on with this guy? I mean, is this guy part of the deep state? It seemed like no one could be trusted. As an individual that I think has been accepted as one of the outsiders who wasn't part of the so-called swamp, how bad was it? I mean, it just seems as if Trump is like one of the only few, with the exception, fighting against everyone everywhere.
You're absolutely right. It feels good to be included in the group that's not of the swamp and is not a swamp creature. So because I was an outsider, I came to the Department of Justice from Des Moines, Iowa, and spent 18 months both as chief of staff and as acting attorney general. And really at every turn, there were individuals trying to frustrate this president's agenda, not only at DOJ, but really across all of the administrative state and the executive branch. And so now we see that and it's not just limited, to be clear, to the executive branch. We're seeing play out right now in General Flynn's case, where a judge is taking the position of trying to frustrate, the Department of Justice's efforts to do justice. And I saw that all over the country, where judges, especially in the Ninth Circuit, but all over the country, were trying to frustrate and undo this legitimate policies of this president.
Obviously, you're not a naive individual, have a pretty good idea of how the game works. But given that, were you still surprised once you got into the administration and seeing all of these individuals trying to, as you word it, frustrate the process? Did you think, wow, this is what I knew this is how it would be?
Yeah. So I had been at the Department of Justice in the Bush administration, and I had confronted, a few folks along the way that had, the attitude that I was here when you got here and I'll be here when you're gone, and just sort of biding their time and doing their own thing. But, I think by and large, there are a lot of good men and women that I've worked with at the DOJ and the FBI. But there are those, I saw it in, especially in the immigration space. I saw it in the religious freedom space and some other spaces where it was a real effort to try to get our policies implemented and to get them done, in a timely manner. So, yeah, I mean, I think, while I was not naive and I knew sort of what I was getting into, I mean, obviously Washington, D.C. and the bureaucracy that is in the swamp is really, it's a sight to behold, and it's got to be experienced firsthand before you can really understand how pervasive it is.
You write in Above the Law, one of the subject matters of former FBI Director James Comey, and how he and others, they were pretty much openly working against President Trump. And again, as an outside observer, I watch this stuff playing out. It's clear there's bias, but it evolves into, for me, and anyhow, the way I see it, is something that was much, much more deliberate and conspiratorial. And Comey was one of those figures that publicly had always been presented by, this bipartisan support. No, he's this one guy that is just above board, and he's one person that both Republicans and Democrats respect. And then, of course, he is revealed to be what he has been revealed to be. I mean, in my mind, I figure everyone kind of knew he was that way, but they all pretended he wasn't. Am I wrong on that? What was the actual inside the Beltway perception of James Comey before, during, and after all this?
Right. And there's a reason he's on the cover of my book. And I think he was a little bit, especially in the Bush administration, of a chameleon. He used kind of what was necessary to, become a U.S. attorney and then deputy attorney general. And when I first encountered Mr. Comey, you know, he was an impressive individual, could give a great speech, you know, would talk about this reservoir of trust and how difficult it was for everybody to fill at the Department of Justice, and how easy it was for one individual to, you know, create a leak in the reservoir of trust. And I just think of, you know, of all the people that should have been talking about a reservoir of trust, he literally kicked over the reservoir of trust and emptied it all, almost all of it out onto the ground that we had all worked so hard to, you know, through many, many years. And so, you know, Jim Comey is, you know, is one of those individuals that had his own interests and put them first. And, you know, if you look at all the leaks that he was involved in, trying to shape a narrative to make himself look better. If you look at how allegedly he said, you know, the General Flynn investigation was going to be by the book. He and President Obama agreed that it was going to be by the book. And then, you know, within weeks, he sent, you know, inconsistent with any rules, regulations or traditions, he sent two FBI agents over to the White House to interview General Flynn. I just don't think you can look at his behavior and think anything other than, you know, he was an individual that did tremendous damage to the reputation of the FBI.
And we're talking to former Attorney General Matthew Whitaker from the Trump administration. His book is Justice Department, or I'm sorry, Above the Law, How the Justice Department Tried to Subvert President Trump. One of the things that has amazed me over time, and just studying history and relationships, and there was a period where the media was very suspicious of the intelligence community and almost adversarial in its coverage. And it has gone from that to paying some of these people to tell the world their version of things that are going on. And where once upon a time, it seemed like there were efforts as best as possible by those from the intelligence community to sort of in a clandestine manner to have the conversation, swerve it a certain way in the national media and the narrative. But now the media ask them to do it for, it's just an amazing switch in how things work. And I mean, am I overplaying it, or, cause I know you write about this in the book, some, that relationship with the media.
Yeah. I think all you have to do is look at somebody like Andy McCabe, who, you know, made all sorts of misjudgments and violated the law and was really, you know, kind of, again, brought disrepute on the FBI in his behavior. And CNN pays him to be a commentator and to talk about these very issues. And it's, you know, it's you know, he, you know, there's somebody that the inspector general said violated the law. He was referred for prosecution for some reason. I'll never know why. They determined not to charge him. And, you know, I think it's a, you know, a whole chapter is dedicated in my book to the double standard, you know, how General Flynn was treated compared to how Andy McCabe was treated. And I just think the American people, you know, want justice to be equal. They want everyone to be treated, you know, the same under our system. And we can't have these glaring examples of the double standard. But you're right. I mean, the relationship between some of these folks, I look at Weissman as another example of someone that was, you know, a partisan. He was accused of being a partisan. And what is he going to do here in the next weeks? He's going to be a headliner of Joe Biden's fundraiser. I mean, and he was one of the key lawyers on the Mueller investigation team. So, I mean, I just think, you know, this stuff, you couldn't make it up. It's so really unbelievable. But, you know, this is the reality we live in, and the complicit media doesn't even pay attention to it.
Lindsey Graham, I know there's efforts now to look into some of all of this, and the first, I believe, subpoena is Rosenstein, and of course there's a lot of speculation as to why the first, and it may mean nothing at all, but I did see a breakdown in a timeline of information that, you know, we now know based on release of transcripts and other things, and some are saying that when you look at that timeline, his appointment of a special counsel came after he had been told numerous times that there was no investigation of the president, that there was nothing there when it came to Russia, but he went ahead anyhow, even being told that by the FBI. Does that sound like an accurate timeline to you, and what do you think, if anything, he has to offer when it comes to the subpoena?
Well, I think, you know, that's an important figure in really the whole story and understanding kind of the decisions he made and why he made those decisions. You know, there was, there never was evidence of collusion, as it was traditionally called, but there was no criminal conspiracy between anybody from the Trump campaign and anyone from the Russian government. And there never, you know, again, we have all these data points. The investigation was going to be closed in January of 2017. Page and Strzok were texting saying there is no big there. You know, all of these data points. I was briefed in late 2018 that there was no evidence. And the Mueller report concluded that there was no evidence of collusion. So never was there any evidence. And so I still cannot understand how Andy McCabe placed the president as a target of a criminal investigation that, you know, again, prompted the deputy to appoint Mueller as a special counsel. It's still, you know, again, I still don't understand what the predication for that investigation was, what the evidence was. And so, you know, I think there are some questions, you know, and I ask many of these questions in my book as to what happened and why it happened and why these decisions were made. And I think eventually we will finally get to hear whether it's through Lindsey Graham, whether it's through John Durham's investigation as to the origins of the Russian investigation. But I hope and I expect that we'll have answers, because I know Americans want accountability for this period of time.
We're talking with our author of the week. Just a couple more questions. I know how busy you are. Matthew Whitaker, former attorney general during the Trump administration. The book is Above the Law, Inside Story of How the Justice Department Tried to Subvert President Trump. I, you know, things happen in real time, and then I look back and remember things that happened in the past, and I think, man, that seems a lot similar. And I remember during the investigation into leaking of Valerie Plame and Scooter Libby, and there was this huge focus on who leaked, and after Scooter Libby would end up, you know, going away, you had Richard Armitage, who came out and said, well, I was actually the one who leaked the name to Robert Novak. And they knew it. He said, I told Fitzpatrick, who was doing the investigating, that I was the leak. And he told me to keep my mouth shut. And the investigation, you know, kept going on. And to me, I thought, man, this seems like a Flynn situation, or this seems like, you know, that this has happened before, where they are after somebody, but they know that this person isn't guilty, but then they continue with an investigation for some reason and then start putting people away or getting people to plead guilty for something they know they didn't do. Am I just kind of making something out of the past that isn't there? Or do you think that this sort of behavior maybe potentially has existed for some time, it just hasn't been as exposed?
Yeah, I think you can draw some comparisons to those two periods of time and the way the investigations were conducted. You know, I think that, you know, there are people that, you know, Jim Comey appointed Pat Fitzgerald to do the Scooter Libby, what ultimately became the Scooter Libby prosecution, the investigation into the leaking of that name, similar tactics. I am almost certain that the appointment of Robert Mueller was the precedent, and the appointment document was actually that was used, the one that Jim Comey drafted to appoint Pat Fitzgerald. And so, you know, I look at kind of both of those situations, and I see not following regular order of the Department of Justice and investigations not being conducted the way they're supposed to be conducted. And I think one of the things I outline in my new book is just how, a way forward so that this doesn't happen again, because I think in both those examples, you're right. I don't think either one of those investigations was conducted appropriately.
And finally, if there is for some Americans any hope of justice, it seems to lie in Barr and the Durham investigation. And do you think that that is... there's solid reason for hope there?
Yeah, I'm actually optimistic. I think, you know, General Barr recently said that John Durham has evidence of criminality, that there are targets of his investigation. And I think we should trust that if anyone can be brought to justice, that John Durham will do it. I also think, you know, what Lindsey Graham's doing and others, you know, including, you know, sort of my description of my experience in my book, I think it's important to have a historically accurate account of what happened to see where all these mistakes were made, who made the mistakes, if they can be prosecuted, they will be prosecuted. But also, you know, if their reputations can be affected because they either exhibited poor judgment or broke the law, I think that's important as well. So I think there's a lot. I think there's a lot to be optimistic about. I think it's been too long. I think what Chris Wray announced about looking into and investigating the Flynn investigation is a good step. I know it seems too late, but it's better late than never in my mind.
Former acting attorney general during the Trump administration, Matthew Whitaker, the book Above the Law, the inside story of how the Justice Department tried to subvert President Trump. Thank you so much for being with us this morning. Appreciate it.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
All right. Have a good day. And like all of our past Author of the Week books, we've got these archived, these interviews up at KSGF.com. And a big thank you to ABC Books on North Glenstone. Make it possible to have these interviews with these authors to bring to you. Springfield's Talk 104.1. I'm Nick Reed.